The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the second guest show. Mike Dettillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J. and I will be here until 6:30 tonight. And at 6:30, we'll throw it to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Mike Hoss will take over as host, and he'll have on with him Saints head coach Darren Rizzi and veteran offensive line coach John Benton. Now, at 6:30, we're going to go to 1350 a.m., and what's going to happen on 870,
they the Pelicans will
have
game, yeah.
The Brooklyn Nets up against the New Orleans Pelicans. So we'll switch a little bit around, but we will do that coaches show for you. They visit Pensacola coaches show, and then right after that, Monday Night Football as the Miami Dolphins play the Los Angeles Rams. He's here each and every Monday night, Mr. Dave Hilbert from the Silver Slipper.
Yeah.
All right, Dave.
Hey, you know, Dave, is this true that they've had some rumors around here that maybe you're a closet Alabama fan?
No, man. I mean, I was raised like in Alabama and like in the Cowboys. You know,
yeah.
Alabama Bear Bryant was like the America's team back in
the 70s.
But now, no, not anymore, man. Especially not after what Nick Saban did, and you know, dumped LSU, went over there
to the Dolphins, and then Alabama.
The one thing. Every LSU fan will be happy. Jalen Milroe will be playing in the National Football League next year.
Well, Mike, I can tell you this right now. He can run. But look at the game he had against Vanderbilt. He didn't do jack. I don't know. Might be. Let me play against the LSU defense that don't have success. He don't pass the ball well enough.
You know,
and have success,
you know who
in
he
NFL.
Reminds me a lot of? Same time frame. Jalen Hurts.
He ain't as good as Jalen Hurts. He can't pass the ball as good. He reminds me more
Jalen
of
Jalen Hurts at Alabama?
Jalen Hurts could pass the ball way better than him. He reminds
I don't know.
Okay, just look at the games. Besides L, I'm not talking about LSU. He reminds me more of the damn Florida quarterback that went with the Colts.
Oh, Anthony Richardson.
He's like, I'm just telling you, watch it in NFL. You can remember what I told you. So watch it in the future, what's going to happen. He has to be way better, more efficient in the passing game. You can run.
I believe that, and he's worked at it. My thing is, man, we go to Manning Passing Academy. Who spent more time with Jalen Milroe than Bill Belichick watching him?
No, because he has all the physical attributes. The same thing with
He's got talent.
No, I can't think of his name. Who's the Florida cat? Richardson.
Anthony Richardson.
Anthony Richardson. Okay, how all of a sudden you're going to be a 50% passer in the NFL? You're not even 50% passer in the SEC. And then all of a sudden you're going to throw out there and it's about spoiled rotten. Oh, I'm tired. I can't play. I mean, Mike, come on. You don't never say that.
Ryan Williams, who's a 17-year-old freshman, and I've heard him make this comment a couple times, I try to get in early to watch game film. So
I can tell you this. Okay, now think about this. Look where he's at right now in the National Football League, and considering what he did at Oklahoma and USC, Caleb Williams. Look how he's passing in the NFL. Okay, I'm just saying. That's why I look at Milroe. No, you can run and all that. But the damn NFL defense ain't no damn LSU defense.
No, it's not.
Okay, that's the only thing when I look at that. Look at Caleb Williams, how he's struggling right now with the Bears.
And no, his offensive line's getting him racked.
No, he ain't. But, Mike, he's getting sacked 9 times. Okay, let me tell you
he's
this.
He's not getting away from pressure.
Okay, let me tell you, Hasselbeck. I'm talking about the Hasselbeck with the Seahawks.
Matt.
That did something. Not the other one that has a pretty wife and all that. It was on The View and all that. Remember her? That's the one who played maybe 6-7 years in the NFL.
Watches The View now.
Yeah.
Man, I didn't realize you watched The View.
I watch everything. I am diversified. I watch everything.
Man.
So all of a sudden. Here's the Bears quarterback,
Caleb Williams.
He gets sacked 9 times.
I agree.
You know what? 6 of those 9 is his fault.
Exactly.
The 3 times. Oh, the offensive line sucks for the Bears.
It,
no,
it does.
How about
but
the quarterback? How about the quarterback? Don't know what the hell he's doing. So that's the only thing about Milroe on the NFL level. No, we Alabama people, they love him. Look, he made the LSU look like the JV. He was like the varsity. They couldn't stop him. But the NFL's not like that. He has to be a better passer.
The one thing with Milroe is his work ethic to try to get better.
No, if you have that right attitude and not a prima donna, that's a big thing.
He's got the right attitude. So Ryan Williams, 17 years old, right out of high school, he wants to come in there and make an impact, and he did. And Milroe hit him on the long play. It was just a little maybe out of his reach. So Ryan says, man, I get that 5 o'clock in the morning. Milroe's there. I get there at 4:30, Milroe's there.
Well, that's what you want to see.
That tells me a lot about his character.
He wants to be great.
He wants to be that type of player.
Now, speaking of quarterbacks, what happened to LSU's quarterback?
He got rocked.
Well, Nussmeier is going to be a gunslinger. Yeah. But
to the day he dies, playing football. I'm telling you.
But
his last days.
But he don't play on defense. that was embarrassing. But you know what? That was the worst thing with that, Dave and Mike and Governor Landry. You can't have no damn Florida false tiger. You got to have Mike the tiger. You can't have no fake defunct and get a false tiger. I mean, come on. Okay, that's a fraud.
About animal abuse was having that tiger watch LSU play.
Unlike Peter and all that, I mean.
No, it was watching the Tigers play. That was abuse.
Oh, yeah, no, that definitely was.
They got
abuse.
It from the Tiger King or something. I don't know where they came from.
Omar Bradley. Omar Bradley was his name.
Omar, no, our Tiger is not Omar Bradley. Our Tiger is Mike the Tiger. Yeah. And
Mike, I ain't leaving my $1 million home for that. I'm not going that.
The thing is, Dave, that's one of the most embarrassing losses. I think the expectations, college game day, everything, and now it rained a little bit. But you know what, Mike, and I have to say this. To me, this is the key. When you look at strategy and what you're trying to do, you know Alabama only threw the ball 18 times.
Yep.
He was 12 of 18. And LSU's thrown it 42 times. Oh, it's a wet ball. I've thrown a wet ball, and it is different. So all of a sudden, Alabama runs the ball 48 times to 311 yards.
Much Milroe got out of
it? Yeah. So, Mike, when you look at, like, okay, look at the elements and how we playing. The bottom line is
you ain't built to win that type of game because you can't run the ball.
2 years in a row.
Can't run it.
Okay, you cannot let somebody else might beat us, but we can't let Milroe gash us. Mike, it was so humbling.
He gashed you.
It was kind of like when Dave used to gash his opponents at Jesse. When he was at Jesse.
I think Bob got him on their heels. The first couple passes, he hits Ryan Williams. And then he throws the deep pass. Oh, now you got the secondary shook up. So they can't come close to the line of scrimmage. You got to respect Ryan Williams' speed. What happens? He takes off running with it.
Well, Coach Kelly.
They set him up.
You got to hold Coach Kelly's feet to the fire. I don't know. We paid him, $100 million for 10 years?
Ain't going nowhere.
Look at Milroe. In 2 games against LSU, he's had 32 rushing attempts for 340 yards and 8 touchdowns. What is this, a video damn game?
My thing is, I put that on the highlight reel. Show my grandkids.
What?
Look what Pops did on here. Dave, tell us what's happening here at the
Civil Slip. Oh, man, we sure got the football squares on every Monday night. night football game all the way through the season. Of course, we have the radio show here every Monday through the Super Bowl. And giving away those 50-inch TVs every night, November and December at 7 p.m. Well, not every night, every Sunday through Thursday.
And y'all gearing up because I know Thanksgiving, Christmas, oh, yeah. New Year's, that, man, that's big around here. And especially New Year's Eve, you always got, man, a ton of people. I've come here a couple times. Man, it is full.
Of course, we had the buffet has all the Thanksgiving favorites out there. There's a special menu in the Blue Bayou for Thanksgiving. So it's a great time at the holiday time here at the Slipper.
Okay, who's playing New Year's Eve?
Joni Capretta and Baytown Groove. It's okay, a really good band from Bay St. Louis.
Bay St. Louis, right.
Absolutely. They played here many times, so they're really good. And looks like we're going to bring some more entertainment back here on the stage, so stay tuned for some good announcements.
And Dave, I noticed this post, cruising the coast, but it seems like it's always successful year in and year out.
Oh, yeah, it was great. And this time it was a Chamber of Commerce weather.
Yes.
It wasn't a cloud.
Unbelievable weather.
So, yeah, it's a great event.
And if you come here, Dave, you can get you a square.
You can get you a square, exactly right. You can earn them 5 days before the boards come out. You can earn a square here.
All righty. Dave, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Go Rizzy. Come on down to the Silver Slipper.
Come on down to the Silver Slipper. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on the Second Guest Show, Mike D'Antilia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. We're going to go back to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. We're going to take Big John. Big John, before you start, I want to thank you because I know you've helped organize this Veterans Day Parade for I don't remember how many years. I know it's been 3 to 4. And listen, that takes a lot of time, a lot of effort. And so I want to thank you for doing that for this community to honor the veterans because I know if my dad was alive, he would love to see that those guys are getting recognition even at their age.
Guy, thank you very much, and a very happy Veterans Day back. And I could not have done it without the help of a very dedicated group of people as well. And your dad would have loved it. And every veteran who participated in it on Saturday, absolutely enjoyed themselves. And the veterans that just came out to watch, it was nice for them too. And you know, next year, of course, I'm like, you got to be in this because this is for you as much as anything. And, you know, my mantra is always every day should be Veterans Day. Every day should be Armed Services Day. And every day should be Memorial Day. But at least we have one day where we can dedicate ourselves to remembering what these guys did for us and why we can watch a sport like football and say the things we say and worship where we want and hold the opinions that we do simply because they were on duty and they did the job that they could do.
I agree with you, Big John, 100%. Now let's get to the other things in life. Talk to us about Saints.
Well, you know, guys, for the first time in 7 weeks, I can say hail to the mighty Saints. And that's a big relief. And, you know, I'm sure everybody in the Houdat Nation is feeling the big relief. Of course, it didn't come easy. And poor Alvin, as great a player as he is and as dedicated and everything, and poor fella just dropped that pass. And I'm sure that everybody in New Orleans just had a big collective groan like, here we go again. But, you know, you got to hand it to the Saints defense for stepping up and doing what it was necessary to win because it looked at times as if they were still having some of the same troubles and same some of the same issues with tackling and being in the right place. But, you know, you got to take your hat off to Coach Rizzi, who went in and he changed a whole lot of things in the locker room. He did all the things that a coach needs to do to let people know that you know, we're moving in a different direction. And I think that the, you know, you can say all you want about his face after the blocked kick. You can say all you want about, you know, Derek Carr deciding to go long on occasion and Marquez Valdes-Scantling, you know, showing up and, you know, being a 10-year veteran and just playing like he's got a new life in him. But I really think that the number one thing that the Saints did, and that is, you know, Joe Wood going to man-to-man defense early in the game. It was like letting the Falcons know that they were there to play that day and knocking them in the mouth and being, you know, playing man-to-man coverage, playing tight. I think that really set the tone for the entire football game.
Well, you know, Big John, I think, and DeMario Davis said this, that you look at the number of games, how they unfold, and we take pride in the defense. That to me, if we're winning going into the fourth quarter, or we have a lead in the fourth quarter, that we have to be able to finish and win the game. You know, not like, because how do you close out? You know, look at the last possession. Just think about how you feel about yourself. I'm not talking about like the Chiefs and games like, oh, well, no, we weren't going to win that game. But look at the fine, thin line, how we lost to the Eagles, how we lost to the Falcons the first time. So then you look at your overall record. There's always going to be two or three. And so we pride ourselves on our defense. So DeMario was saying, no, if we have the lead going in the fourth quarter, we got to close, seal the deal. We cannot lose those type games. So I think going forward, whether it's against Cleveland or the Rams now, if we're in a shootout and have to play catch-up, I think that doesn't bode well.
If you're in a shootout against the Rams, you got
shot. Yeah, yeah, what I'm saying. But what if we, DeMario is saying, like, what if we end up going into the fourth quarter and we're winning? He's taking the approach, we got to be able to close this out and win from a defensive perspective. Not even putting on Derek Carr in the office and what are they going to do. But if we're winning in the fourth quarter, the defense has to be able to close it out. Because if you look at that Eagles game.
Hey, you had them.
They needed a touchdown, not a field goal and all that. Like, well, what the hell happened? We ran into each other. Then I look at Atlanta. You know, you never know what's going to happen. Look, this type of game with Koo making the kick. But I think where we've been structured, and I'm talking about Dennis Allen and Coach Woods and all, as the same players, how they've been structured to have that maybe the strength of our team, that if we're winning in the fourth quarter, we got to close it out. We got to win. So I don't care if we're playing the Browns, Rams, Giants, Raiders, whoever we're playing. If we're winning in the fourth quarter and we're not in a shootout game or, you know, we're way behind and all, then that's not the way we structure. But if we're winning in the fourth quarter, I agree with DeMario Davis, we should win those kind of games.
Guys, just think about it. And it's a small sample size. This is Peyton Turner's best game he ever played as a Saint.
Without a doubt.
Okay, it's a small sample because he's always hurt, but he really stepped up yesterday.
Well, he looked like
a guy stepping up.
He looked like a first-round draft pick. Now, can you do this for a month? He had four total tackles. He had a sack. He had two quarterback hurries. He had a tackle for loss, a pass defended. He forced a fumble.
That's what you want out of him.
Yeah, how about you do that for a month? Not like, okay, I play one game and I'm going to play around Christmas again. You know, I'm going to be ready then.
I'm going to give you all a present. Right?
No. So it's like Peyton Turner has the ability. So you can see the flash is very similar to Marcus Davenport. But you got to be available, considering what we have invested in you, to do this not only one game, but how do you do it a handful of games or at least for a month going forward.
Big John?
Yeah, guys, look, the thing is that success breeds its own momentum. And you can see that with what happened with Detroit. I mean, you know, a good team is going to have the breaks. And the Saints, showing what Peyton Turner does, now what he needs to do is he needs to build off of that. And the more success you have, the healthier you tend to be, and the more dedicated you tend to be.
Yeah, I heard Dan Campbell talk this morning. And he was talking about, you know, I've never been a big believer in momentum. What I'm a big believer in, and I agree with him, confidence. We've been through this. We've been through a lot of difficult situations. Now, he said, we hadn't been through that situation that we had last night. But he said, you know, we had confidence. Once we got things started, hey, we were going to finish it. I think confidence that you can do it, man, goes a long way with it.
And you know what, Big John and Mike, you know who also had a Peyton Turner-type game? Because we were bragging on him in training camp. When they went Irvine, it's Chase Young.
Yeah.
Chase Young ends up with a sack, two quarterback hurries, a tackle for loss, also had a forced fumble. So you look at Chase Young. Now, he wants to get paid. I don't think he's on pace to get double-digit sacks where he's at. But he had the kind of game. Chase Young and Peyton Turner had the games that the organization expects from them. You know who's under the radar and who stepped up? Now, you know, so we don't have our depth. The other team's depth's better than our depth. Ugo Amadi, you can't miss him, number zero. Number zero, Ugo Amadi had 9 unassisted tackles, 3 tackles for loss, a pass defended. Here's a safety who has the ability to play nickel corner on the slot, and Mike, but he's a safety. So look at Ugo Amadi, because Alante Taylor, we got to move him outside, because Lattimore's no longer here, Paulson and Devo's not there, so we got Alante Taylor on the outside, and Ugo Amadi. You know what? That's a pro right there based on accepting the challenge and producing.
Thank you so much for the call, Big John. We appreciate it. When we come back, we'll have on with us the head football coach of the Nicholls State Colonels, Tim Rebo, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the second guest show, Mike Dettillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. We do this each and every Monday. It's the Thibodeau Regional Coaches Show with Nicholls State head football coach Tim Rebo. Thibodeau Regional Health System, innovation for a healthy future. Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Coaching, watching that. I was able to catch some of it. I had to do pregame for LSU. He had a 14-0 lead at half. And then, man, everything that could go wrong sort of did go wrong on the defensive side of football. 24 points, end up losing 24-21 to Houston Christian.
And, Coach Rebo, how frustrating, probably in your whole coaching career, that's probably one of the most frustrating losses. You're like, man, you're probably thinking, how in the hell we lost that game?
You're going to look back and say, man, how did we do that?
So, Bobby, I was telling someone today, even in the middle of the fourth quarter, the end, I said, there's no way we're losing this game. We were like just in total control of it. We take the second half kickoff. We go all the way down. It's fourth and goal at the 1 yard line. And I decided to go for it, put us in a bad situation. And my thought process was, you know, they had 25 total yards in the first half. I'm thinking, even if we don't get it here, they, you know, the chances of them going 99 yards and, well, they hit a pass on us. We missed a tackle, and a guy goes 97 yards for a touchdown. And then there goes momentum again. So just frustrating. We left plays on the field. We left points off the board. So it was very, very disappointing.
You know, Coach Rebo is kind of like, I don't know, you know, fine, thin line. And you might say all phases, offense, defense, and special teams. You know, I look at Atlanta. I mean, here's a guy who never misses field goals. I'm looking at it like Koo. He's missing field goals 46-53. Now, I know that's, you know, but he makes those all the time, and then he gets one blocked, and you look at the final score, and it's 20-17, and I'm looking at you missed 5 field goals, including 2 in the final seconds, and the first miss was negated with a roughing the kicker penalty, and then you still have another opportunity, and you don't make it. So, when you look at that and the final score, you know, it's a college kid versus a pro, but think about how significant. Did you make the field goal or did you miss it? The difference whether you win or lose.
Yeah, I thought leaving the points up there was difficult. The first field goal that he missed, Bobby, was a 51-yarder. And then we came back. The second field goal was a 44-yarder, and he hits the upright and doesn't go in. And then at the end of the game, we had a chance to tie it up. We did a good job with the 2-minute drill, took it down there. He missed it to the right. They roughed the kicker. We kick it again, and he missed it again. And You know, like we told the team, though, you know, everybody wants to think about the last play, the last kick or whatever, but there were so many plays before that. We had an opportunity to get off the field. We had a chance to put points on the board. So that's what hurts us so much.
Coach, when you lose a game like that, it could hurt you the following week because you don't want to lose to the same team twice. You got to be able to get it out of your mind. So what has been the mindset to kind of say, okay, that game's over with. Let's not have Houston, you know, Christian beat us twice to get ready for the next game?
Mike, you're so right because we talk about that all the time and that I don't want our opponent to beat us twice. We've got to be able to move on. We talked about it today at length in our team meeting this morning about continue to do the right things, and we got to be able to stick together through some rough times like this. You know, having back-to-back losses, sticking together, that's what we do. We got a good locker room. I know it's hard when you lose, but that's the main thing. We got a good opponent coming in. We still got a lot to play for our season. We got to go on the road, face a Lamar team that's probably just like us. You know, they're playing at home. So we got a short week after that. So we feel like we can go get these two and end the season on a high note.
You know, in hindsight, Coach Rebo, when you look at it, now all of a sudden this score is 21-21, 3 minutes and 46 seconds to play. But then the next possession, you take off just 24 seconds off the clock as you go three and out. You know, you always analyze, okay, what plays did we call? And it's like, whoa, what? We're three and out, only 24 seconds went off the clock. So what happened in that process? And you look ultimately the momentum, what happened. You know, they end up kicking a 50-yarder with 58 seconds left. But that had to be like, whoa, the momentum has shifted when all of a sudden just 24 seconds go off the clock, you know, right at the end of the game when you win that three and out.
Yeah, Bobby, you're right about that. We had a chance. The defense got a good stop. We got the ball back, pretty decent field position, and threw an incompletion, got a sack. And then we got to punt the ball, and they did a good job of got a decent return, and we knew they had a real good kicker. They did not have to go many yards. They actually played for the field goal. He hits a 50-yarder, in essence, to win the game for him. I didn't think he hit it that good when he did, and sure enough, it barely got over the crossbar and got in for the win. But we still had time. I thought we did a good job in the two-minute drill going back down the field and giving us an easy field goal for a chance to tie it up.
Coach, got Lamar this coming weekend. Kind of give us a preview of what you've seen from this Lamar football team. You and I have talked about this. To me, they are sleeping giant. Now, they got to get the right guy in place to piece it all together. But look where you located. Look at that population base you can pull from.
Texas,
East and
Houston,
West.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. But they've never been able to really kind of get this for a longer roll. But looking at them on film, kind of some of the areas that you think that Lamar really does well in.
Well, first of all, you talk about the location, and we talk about that golden triangle that they're in. It's really a hotbed that they can pull out of Houston, and really they pull some kids out of Louisiana. And I think Coach Pete's doing a really good job over there. I think he is the right guy for the job. He's got a good mentality. They're a tough football team. And then, you know, they have the facilities. If you look at that basketball arena, that football, they really got some things going. You know, football-wise, quarterback steers that ship for them. They got a really good run game. They've lost some tough games. They lost in overtime. They had Southeastern beat at home just 2 weeks ago and then lost it in overtime. So, you know, it's almost like us in certain situations. And I hate to say it like this, but instead of finding a way to win a game at some point, it's almost like finding a way how not to win or how to lose a game. And that's I think that's happened to them a couple times also.
You know, Coach Rebo, when you look at it, not to look ahead, but Southeastern, it seems like, they've had a special season so far. I would not say not on the level Incarnate Word, but still where they're at. And you know, no matter what the record, you could throw it out the window when you're playing for the Riverbell Classic. And you talk about a short week and all that. So that could be significant. Not that I'm not talking about looking ahead, But, you know, the fan base always will look at that Nicholls State-Southeastern matchup.
Yeah, you know, Coach Frank's done a good job. They got off to a rough start. They played a tough preseason schedule. He's got them playing well. And I think on the flip side, he's finding a way to win some of them close games that he's getting involved in. And he's done a good job of scheduling, too, because, you know, they're 6-5 right now, and they're sitting back. They got an open date this weekend and then turn around and play on Thursday. So he won't have that short week. So I'm sure he'll be sitting back watching us on Saturday and getting ready to go on Thursday. So, you know, what we'd like to do is try to win this one, get a little momentum, and then it makes that short week a little bit easier if you got that victory under your belt.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us tonight, and best of luck this coming Saturday against Lamar.
All right, guys. See you next week. Thank y'all.
Thank you, Coach Rebo. That was Nicholls State head football coach Tim Rebo. This segment is brought to you by Thibodaux Regional Health System, innovation for a healthy future. We'll be back to finish off our number two here on Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finish up here our number two on the Second Guess show. Mike Dettie along with the Cajun Cannon. Bobby Hebert live from the Silver Slipper Casino beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bob, Coach Rebo brought it up, but, man, Southeastern, 41-0 over your alma mater, Northwestern State. Southeastern 6-5 right now, but a 5-1 in the Southland.
Yeah.
But, man, you look at that schedule early. They had a difficult schedule early in the season. Man, Frank Sofo has done a really good job keeping the train on the tracks and to get them to have a 5-1 record at this stage.
Yeah, no, I think Coach Rebo, that could be, you know, because it's a Riverbell Classic, that rivalry between Southeastern and Nicholls State. No, considering the success that Southeastern has had, specifically in the conference, that would be a big win for Coach Rebo. They could beat, and it's going to be a short week on the Thursday. They've been playing on that night. But really, this year, Mike, you look at when the conference are at large. To me, there's only one team that's going to get in the postseason, Incarnate Word.
I agree with you.
I think they were ranked 8th in the nation. They'll go to the postseason. And, boy, I can't think of the score right now. But, boy, Montana got spanked.
Did they?
Not Montana State, but Montana.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.